From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns brings another portion of a message entitled, Christ with His People in the House of Affliction. The text is John chapter 11, the account of Christ raising Lazarus from the dead. Prior to His coming to Bethany, the Lord Jesus had told His disciples that Lazarus' sickness was for the glory of God. Indeed, as Dr. Cairns will show, whatever God allows is for His own glory. It is not for us to question as to how He will do this. It is enough for us to know that He will do it. Before the message, Dr. Cairns uses today's hot topic to answer the question, what happens to Christians when they die?
Just before I prepared this commentary, I received sad news of the sudden death of a longtime friend, a brother in Christ, whose testimony was clear and vibrant, and whose Christian character was an example to all of us who knew him. I spoke to his shocked wife, whose grief is made bearable by the grace of her Savior's presence with her, and by the assurance of His word that her husband, though absent from the body, is present with the Lord. She knows that though his body is in the grave, his soul is with Christ, which is far better, as Philippians 1:23 tells us. Coincidentally, just before receiving the news of my friend's death, I read some statements by a leading bishop of the Church of England, M.T. or Tom Wright, to the effect that Christians don't go to heaven when they die. According to Wright, in what theologians call the intermediate state, that is, the state of the soul between death and the bodily resurrection, Christians do not go to heaven to live in blessedness as disembodied spirits with Christ awaiting the resurrection. Until Christ returns, Wright insists, Christians sleep. As he explained it, and I quote, we know that we will be with God and with Christ resting and being refreshed. Paul writes that it will be conscious, but compared to being bodily alive, it will be like being asleep. The wisdom of Solomon, a Jewish text from about the same time as Jesus, says, the souls of the righteous are in the hand of God. And that seems like a poetic way to put the Christian understanding as well. Close the quote. The dogma of soul sleep isn't new. It's the belief of Seventh-day Adventism, for example. Now it's being promoted by a well-known theologian. This is not Tom Wright's first foray into the realm of the controversial. He's the man who launched what has become known in theology as the new perspective on Paul, his redefinition of the doctrine of justification. Far from being new, it is in most of its salient characteristics a return to the old dogma of the Council of Trent. It is in essence a repudiation of the central doctrine of all Protestant soteriology. So it's not surprising that having gone off the rails in such a vital area, Wright should also go astray on the subject of the intermediate state. When the Bible speaks of the dead sleeping, it uses the term metaphorically and applies this sleeping solely to the body and never to the soul. When Paul considered death, he said it would be gain to him. He said it would be better than his present experience. In his lifetime, Paul had amazing experiences of Christ's presence and fellowship. He looked forward to death as giving an entrance into an even better state, which could hardly be the case if his high level of consciousness was to be replaced by some dreamy sleep or unconsciousness. Again, Paul spoke of the spirits of just men made perfect. That's hardly the description of unconsciousness. Perfect sanctification of the soul, by definition, cannot be enjoyed by unconscious souls. Indeed, there's nothing in Scripture to suggest that unconsciousness is anything but a physical state. Released from the body, the souls of believers are perfected and enter into a far better enjoyment of Christ than ever before. It's not their final state. Their bodies will be raised, and body and soul they will be forever with the Lord, perfectly conformed to their glorified Savior. That's their final hope, but it should not dim the immediate realization of a happy entrance into glory when they die, no matter what Bishop Wright says to the contrary. In plain English, Wright is wrong. My friend is more alive today than he has ever been.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org, that's ltbs@freepres.org, or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
I'm not a charismatic, the farthest thing from it. I'm not a Pentecostalist. But I believe in the power of God to do what He wills. And I believe that if He wills to heal, He can heal either by medical means or without them. That is not an encouragement for you to do without them. But that's in His sovereign control. What I can say in every case of suffering and affliction and sorrow and things that cause us lamentation is that when the Lord is allowing it or ordaining it, the Lord is saying it is for the glory of God. And the Lord Jesus is saying, the Son of God is going to glorify Himself. And I think there He meant in a public fashion, as a witness to others, He's going to take your suffering and your pain and your anguish and your tears, and He's going to turn them into a witness that will be for His everlasting praise. Now let me back up for a moment and remind you of something that I have preached in this pulpit again and again and again. Why do we exist? What is the purpose of life? What is the whole reason for our being? And ultimately, there is only one. There may be a multitude of secondary reasons why we exist, but they all come under this one heading. You are for the glory of God. I exist for the glory of God. He created us that we may glorify Him. And I tell you, there is no higher purpose for any creature than to be the means of expressing the glory of God. There is no greater privilege, especially for a Christian, to be the willing instrument in the hand of God to say, Lord, whatever the cost, whatever the pathway to this great end, I want my life in all its parts to be a means, a testimony, a witness
that will let men and women see the glorified Son of God. That's why we exist. The Lord Jesus is saying, you're in the house of affliction. This is a place where in a greater measure than ever before, you can bring glory to the God who saved you. And really, that's not very difficult to understand. Any fool can smile when everything is going well. Any fool can feel happy when every circumstance in life is thrilling. But man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. This whole world is a great gigantic Bethany that's in the house of affliction. It's in the time of trouble and sorrow when all the props have been kicked away and there's no place of self-reliance or no place of real help from friends or any place else. When you're shut alone with your God, it's then that the whole universe can see the difference that Jesus Christ makes, the difference between what it is to be a Christian and to be without Christ and without God and without hope. He reassured them, you don't see how I'm doing this, but believe me, this will glorify your God and your Savior. Now, when that message was first given, let's be honest, it must have been very difficult for those two ladies to accept. I have never known anybody who's an exception to this rule. When you are in the midst of affliction, whether it's mental anguish, oppression, physical debility, great pain and suffering, tremendous uncertainty in your life, it's very difficult at that time to see how this glorifies God. That's not, of course, the point. The point is not, can I see how my affliction is going to glorify God? That's not the point. The point is, the Savior says, it will glorify Him. He will use it for the honor of Christ. I remember as my mother lay still and stiff in a coffin, my two sisters were weeping. To be honest, I told them I couldn't shed a tear if I tried, for I'm glad that my mom has finally gone to be with Christ. One of my brothers who was there couldn't honestly share that sentiment. He wanted to hold on to her as long as he could. It's hard to see that those tears and that suffering were for the glory of God. But I'll never forget, and some of you who were at our baptismal service a few months back will have heard the story straight from my brother's own mouth. I will never forget that day as he stood transfixed listening to Dr. Paisley preach my mother's funeral sermon. Nor will I forget the journey we took alone away out into the countryside of County Down, and he began to open up his heart to me and tell me of his need. Nor will I ever forget the day when finally, after hearing tapes from this church again and again, I got the telephone call to say, for the first time in my life, I can say I am justified. That day in my sister's home, and that's how we still do it mostly in Northern Ireland. That day in my sister's home, as Dr. Paisley preached my mother's funeral sermon, he used the anguish and the affliction and the loss to glorify himself. He always does. I don't know what you're going through, believer. In most cases anyway, some obviously I do. I don't understand all the anguish of your mind. I can't feel the depth of your pain. But I can tell you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he'll glorify himself and he'll comfort you with that assurance. Take time today not to be so wrapped up in the pain or the anguish. Take time to stop and realize and hear the voice of the Savior. This also is for the glory of God. He comforted them with the promise of the resurrection. As I said, we are all going to die, sooner or later. And for most of us, sooner than later. We're all going to die. Or we're going to have a loved one die. Death is going to invade your family circle. And you know, the older you get, the more frequently that's going to happen. But here is the glorious comfort of the Savior. It is the promise of the resurrection. And do you notice he says, it's not just future, I am the resurrection. In other words, and I don't want to get technical or theological in a message like this, but there is a sense in which the great, what the theologians like to call the eschaton, the great consummation of all the ages, is not just some distant point in the future of history. It is something that has already come to be in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the resurrection. Brethren, this life is but for a moment. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. The trouble with many people is that for them there's no glory to follow. But for the people of God, there is a resurrection life in Jesus Christ, to be with him and like him, sinlessly, spotlessly, in the glories of God's presence forevermore. Think of that. Let that sink into our hearts this morning. We talked about that dear friend who recently went to be with Christ when I was over in Ulster. Just 1 week or so before she died, I'd been in a few times when I was in to see her. Do you know, as we talked, I remember particularly a day when she was deciding there'd be no more chemotherapy. She was composing herself to die. I remember saying to her, Eleanor, is it a wonderful thing to realize that the worst possible thing, as far as the world would describe it, that could happen to you, namely to die? The worst thing that can come out of this is that you are going to go to heaven and you're going to see the Savior face to face. And I didn't say that casually. Nor did she accept it casually, but with joy. She said, yes, when you think of it, the worst thing, as the world sees it, is that I am going to go to heaven. And there is a resurrection. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Oh, this is the assurance that the Lord Jesus brings. This is the comfort of his promise. And of course, he gave them a demonstration of his power. That was the comfort. He did not always raise the dead. But in every affliction, He will let you know His power. He is not an impotent bystander. He is the sovereign Christ of God. He is not a victim. He is the great actor in all of life's troubles and trials. And He says, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. And in all our afflictions, as He is afflicted, as He feels with us, as He sympathizes with us, as He understands us, He says, the eternal God is your refuge. And underneath you are the everlasting arms. The arms that uphold the universe are particularly upholding you. The hands that hurl the worlds into space are hands that hold you in their grasp. The Lord Jesus will demonstrate His power.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.